When people ask me about what restorative justice is, I like to jump into a definition by my old prof, Dr. Johanna Turner. And she describes restorative justice as a philosophy that emphasizes healing and accountability to repair harm and wrongdoing, build community and strengthen relationships. And so to your question around how it relates to the criminal justice system, the way that ARJA works, we operate outside of the criminal justice system. So that means that instead of people going to a court, working through a criminal process that way, we bring people who have interacted with one another through a criminal activity or harm or tension and facilitate a dialogue to look to repair the harm that was done. And so how it functions then is that, you know, we have trained facilitators who sit in those discussions, facilitate the encounter. And at the end of it, if all parties are willing, they come to an agreement that people who have caused the harm work to repair that harm in community and with that person. This is a very robust example, but instead of going to prison, somebody would maybe do community service or some other community building activity that that would be good for the community, but also would be a way to meet the need of somebody who they have harmed. And that's where the provocative part of the conversations happen. As an organization, we get referrals from the Abbotsford Police Department. We've had a relationship with them for a long time. And they're a really, really great partner with restorative process in Abbotsford. And so we get referrals. Our restorative justice program coordinator, Justin, he reaches out to the parties involved to see if they'd be interested in participating in something like this, because it is completely voluntary. And so if one party does not want to do it, then it gets referred back to the police department, and they take it and either press charges, and it goes and it flows through the more traditional justice system.
Does your work get sanctioned by the court systems, or how does that work?
ARJA is an approved community accountability program within the Victim Services and Crime Prevention Division of the BC Ministry of Justice. And so that means that we can do and work with files that that are crimes, basically. But there are some limitations to the types of criminal things that we can work with. You know, we work primarily with files of theft, that kind of thing. And so we can't do things like power over crime. So sexual assaults, for example, or violent crimes or things like that.
You just said that you have a great relationship with the APD. How long ago did you form that relationship?
As an organization, we've been around for about 20 years. And for the majority of that time, there has been a formal relationship with the Abbotsford Police Department. And so our office actually is housed in the community police office. And so they're in the community policing unit. And so we receive space there in kind. When an officer refers a file to restorative justice, so ARJA, they go through their own internal process to determine if it is something that makes sense for them to pass our way. And so there's an officer that works with those referrals. And if it is something that checks all their boxes, then they will refer that file to us. And then we go through our process as well that looks at if it's something that is voluntary, if it's something that isn't a power over crime, for example, then we can go forward to see if people are willing to participate.
How do you then get the APD involved and say, we can't do it, it may be time for the traditional criminal justice system to take over?
It really does depend on a lot of different factors. And so first off, it is a voluntary process. All parties involved aren't interested or don't feel like it or would rather not. Then we would pass it back to the Abbotsford Police Department. If we are in the middle of a process and we get the sense that, you know, maybe the harm doer or the offender isn't fully honest, or they're not owning up to everything that that they say, then we look at that and see if it makes sense for the parties to meet, even though the offender or the harm doer is not really being truthful with us. And if we get the sense in any of our initial meetings that is would be an unsafe environment for the harmed party, for example. And I appreciate the question because it is a victim-centered approach. So the victim is central in the working of the process, from how the chairs are arranged, you know, pre-COVID anyway, how chairs are arranged in the meeting, if they would feel safe to go face to face, you know, those types of questions are there. And if, you know, if there's something that triggers a sense of this wouldn't be safe for the harmed party, then we'll pull the plug and toss it back to the APD. And so there's a good number of things that we take into consideration before we say, you know what, this will make sense. We will bring people together to have this provocative justice experience.
Do you ever find resistance from the victims? And do you find when you reach out that they're not understanding what you're trying to do?
One of the big parts of the work and that I observe my colleague Justin do often is, you know, when you do that initial reach out to see if restorative justice is something that the victim would be interested in engaging with, a part of that initial contact is talking about and unpacking what restorative justice is and what the process is. And so people that we reach out to often don't have a strong awareness of restorative justice. Sometimes they do, and people really jump in often if they know what it is. But it does take time to really unpack and describe what restorative justice is sometimes for people who have experienced harm, have been the victim of a crime. And so there are times certainly when people, you know, they hear what restorative justice is and they don't want to have that face-to-face interaction, or, you know, they don't want to know why they were the victim of a crime or whatnot. Because, you know, it is a victim-centered approach, because it is very, very intentional, and it's something that we take very seriously. We always lay out the entire process. There's no surprises along the way. And people, if they don't feel comfortable with it, then they're certainly welcome to say no. And then at that point, we would pass it back to the Abbotsford Police Department, and they would process it in through the traditional court system.
How has COVID-19 affected your guys' day-to-day challenges? Because I guess restorative justice, you have to mingle with one another. You have to have, interactions. That's the whole point of it, right? How have you dealt with the challenges?
It's all online now. And that's taken some creativity and intentionality on our part. And so all of our programs, we got four programs kind of bustling. A lot of that has been focused on online. And so we've had to explore, you know, security concerns of online interactions, asking questions like, well, how can people get access to things they need in an appropriate way? Because you don't want to assume that everybody knows how to function a Zoom account, for example. You know, because it is online now, you know, I think we do lose a little bit of the intensity in those conversations. I mean, the conversations still happen. Our file referrals are still coming in solid, and our program coordinator, Justin, is doing a marvelous job of working with that. But it is all online, and that goes as well for my role in the community restorative practice. Certainly with some of the mentoring stuff as well that we do, it is felt the consequence of that. And so for our mentoring program, you know, we're giving out masks and hand sanitizer and those types of things for appropriate social distance stuff. So certainly not an exhaustive list, but, you know, we've, as an organization, we've really had to lean in and understand online formats and what that looks like for justice moments, restorative justice interactions.